program that is created and devoted to the most important and largest segment of society. To those of you who have come to realize that all of the world's religious, political, economic, academic, and media institutions are corrupt, and who are beginning to question their military, recognizing that these institutions are counterproductive and that they cannot be fixed. Our phone number, if you would like to engage in this discussion, is 877-300-7645. A judge in the Spanish city of Granada has charged 10 Roman Catholic priests and 2 Catholic lay workers with child abuse. Oh, and the church wants to say, oh, you know, it was all exaggerated. We did that back then. We've changed. We're no longer pedophiles. And yet story after story after story. The Pope Francis telephoned one of the alleged victims, now 24 years old, and offered his apologies. What are you going to do but laugh in dismay? What is this, a decade and a half after the abuse took place? He acted after the man wrote him a letter about the abuse. Several arrests were made in November, but suspects are now free on bail. This went on over a decade ago. According to Spanish broadcasters, the young man in question had a friend, and a friend served as altar boys in the Diocese of Granada. It is said that they were invited by a priest to spend time at his house, one that is owned by the Roman Catholic Church, and another property where the most serious assaults were committed. Today, many survivors of abuse by Roman Catholic priests are enraged at what they see as the Vatican's failure to hold their senior officials accountable who have covered up these crimes for so long. Speaking of a nasty religion, a new grisly beheading video from the Islamic State includes a direct threat against President Obama. Oh, we should be so lucky. And is one of at least 3 new warnings from the terror organization, including pledges to kill Jordanian and Japanese hostages if the hostages held in Jordan are not free. In a new online video, one now being translated by Memory, the Middle East Media Research Institute, shows 3 Islamic State jihadists standing behind a kneeling Kurdish man as one of the jihadists launches into a enraged diatribe against the United States and other Western nations. When Muslims open their mouths, it's extraordinarily revealing of their character. It shows them to be immoral. It shows them to be vicious. It shows them to be arrogant. It shows them to be delusional. So, irrational, delusional. Now, irrational and delusional are slightly different things. And Muslims are wholly and completely delusional. Their view of their prowess is so exaggerated, so out of kilter with reality, that it's to the point of disease. They're ignorant. They're incapable of thinking. They're grotesque in their desire for, their craving for violence. And, of course, there is nothing they want more than the imposition of the very doctrine that has destroyed everything it has touched, including their souls, their consciousness, their morality, their character. This quote, "No, oh Obama, that we will reach America," says one of the jihadists clad in black and wearing a balaclava, in a translation from the Arabic provided by Memory. "Know also that we will cut off your head in the White House and transform America into a Muslim province." Yes, nothing says that we've made America like the Islamic world than cutting off the head of state in the official home for said person. Yes, there's nothing that screams Islam more than decapitation. And don't think for a moment that these jihadists have corrupted their religion, that they have an extremist view, that they are somehow radicals. No, the Quran orders Muslims to smite the necks, to decapitate their victims. It is precisely what the Quran and what the Hadith demand of Muslims. It is what Muhammad did to his victims. And so, don't think for a moment that this is unusual. Don't think that these are extremists. They're not. They're fundamentalists. They're observing the Quran. Now, the notion that the Islamic State jihadists are going to turn America into a Muslim province is zero. Now, they're going to continue to lash out at America and Americans, and they will certainly wreak havoc, and they will commit acts of terrorism. But the possibility of them turning America into a Muslim province is zero. I mean, it's not one in a billion. It's not one in a trillion. It's zero. And these delusional morons, of course, can't figure that out. Now, the odds of the Islamic State invading America and actually engaging America in a stand-up war is zero. And Muslims don't fight that way. They are prone to do what they're doing here. They like to attack unarmed individuals. They like to attack by surprise. They like to kidnap and abuse little girls. That's the perverted nature of this religion. Now, I would also say that even on the smaller act of decapitating the abominator, the likelihood that Muslims will successfully gain entrance to the White House and cut off the abominator's head is less than a one in a trillion. And what's so odd about all of this is that the Islamic State has turned the territory that they have captured into, well, as bad as it was in the 7th century. I mean, it's every aspect of it is immoral, ruthless, depraved, no freedoms, no rights, no thinking. It's a living hellhole. It's a swamp without water, just with the festering garbage. And to think that that would be an admirable goal is pretty pathetic. And then to think of the disgusting acts that they would engage in to achieve that goal and what the consequences would be in terms of the treatment of women, the treatment of anyone who dares fail to submit to them. You just think of the consequence of that. And then I want you to recognize that this is just pure Islam. Islam is a criminal enterprise. IQ, al-Rasuli got it right. It's a crime syndicate. It was born as a crime syndicate by Muhammad. That fact is undeniable. There is absolutely no way to disprove the absolute undeniable fact that Islam was conceived as a crime syndicate. And folks, all you got to do is look at the criminal acts being perpetrated by Islam. Terror, rape, enslavement, torture, decapitation, robbery. And look at the fraud that they are perpetrating, and it's impossible not to see the cutting and bleeding edge of Islam as a continued expression of that crime syndicate. Now, I don't expect the world to awaken to this. We're way too comatose, way too lost. We have way too many people who have been indoctrinated by political correctness to ignore all of the evidence regarding Muhammad and his creation of this crime syndicate, and to ignore all of the actions that are taking place around the world and historically have occurred. They'll sweep them under the rug. They'll postulate some generalities and sound politically correct. And so we have way too many people willing to lie to you for their own advancement, for the world to embrace this truth. But it if enough people would wake up to the realization that Islam is a criminal enterprise, and therefore it needs to be declared illegal, it needs to be prosecuted, it needs to be shut down, it needs to be isolated. And isolating it means we do no business with Islamic countries. You don't go there to visit. You don't send them weapons. You don't buy their oil. You leave them alone. And whatever they do to one another, that is what they do to one another. But let them do it with sticks and stones. The jihadist in this video also issued his threats to European nations, and he says, "This is my message to France and to its sister Belgium. We advise you that we will come to you with car bombs and explosive charges, and we will cut off your heads." Now, why would anybody want to embrace a religion that is fixated on doing these things? Car bombs. That means we're going to take explosives and we're going to murder and mutilate defenseless, unarmed civilians. We're going to commit acts of decapitation just because they're grisly, just because our soul is so rotten, so corrupt we can do so. And yet you have politicians saying, yeah, what we need is more Muslims. You have clerics that say, yeah, what we need is more Muslims. What we need, according to these politicians, according to these clerics, is more tolerance of this religion, more acceptance of the criminal enterprise. Swell. Wonder why the world is such a mess. Welcome back to Shattering Mess. The this particular video fades to black as an Islamic State a jihadist brings a knife up to the unidentified Kurdish man's throat. So it is like so many of the others. They're actually not filming beheadings. And at that point, what we know is all we have is a propaganda film. This is not jihadists doing their normal thing. And we have no actual proof that the individuals have been killed. Now, there's a lot of people the Islamic State has beheaded and killed because we've seen them with their heads up on fence posts and their bodies laying around in various places. As we kind of a laughable item in the news, in the storm of the century was a fluke, was a complete flop in the Northeast. All the meteorologists and then the governors, in fact, here from Mayor Bill de Blasio of New York City, says we are facing most likely one of the largest snowstorms in the history of this city. Yeah, they got a dusting. Don't underestimate this storm. You know, they closed everything down, told everybody to go home. And going to have 70 mile an hour wind gusts and, you know, 3 feet of snow. And, you know, it didn't happen. You know, and it's amazing, too, how fixated the media now is and trying to tie all of this to climate change. You know, there was a period of time when it was global warming, but we've had the 14 years consecutively of really cool temperatures. And we were told that global warming was going to melt the ice caps entirely and have ice-free poles, and yet the advance of the ice pack has been beyond anything we've measured in recorded history. We have had three really, really miserably cold winters in the Western Hemisphere, particularly in North America. And so they gave up on global warming because it was impossible to promote the lie. So they came up with the notion of climate change. And I want you to start with climate change. Yeah, you know, climate change. We have four seasons every year. The climate changes. The earth turns. The sun, therefore, rises and sets. We have a climate change. If we have hurricanes, it's a factor of climate change. We don't have hurricanes, factor of climate change. We have tornadoes, factor of climate change. Don't have tornadoes, it's climate change. If we have severe thunderstorms, it's climate change. Don't have severe thunderstorms, it's climate change. If it rains too much, it's climate change. If it rains too little, it's climate change. No matter what happens, it's climate change. And, of course, without any evidence demonstrating the connection, say that it is man's fault and that man can solve it. Beyond the fact that there's no proof that there is any change beyond the normal cycles that we have been in for millions of years, 600 years of warm followed by 600 years of cool with intermittent periods of warming and cooling within those mega cycles. And those mega cycles going back millions of years, long before there was even Homo sapiens on the planet, much less burning of so-called fossil fuels, that there is really no evidence that man is the culprit. Even if you could prove that the climate is different than it has historically been on these 600-year mega cycles, even if you could prove that, which we can't, there is no way to prove that man would be responsible for the change. And even if you could prove that, which you can't, there's no way to demonstrate that you could change human behavior to reverse or stall the change that man was allegedly perpetrating. And therefore, what you end up with is nothing but an economic wealth redistribution scheme of socialists, of world manipulators, of those who wish to enrich themselves and gain power and influence by depriving others of wealth, power, and influence. It's what you end up with. There's nothing more to it than that. Those who seek socialism, those who cling to secular humanism, those who would be liberal in their deployment of centralized power, those who would speak of the world acting together, of global interests, those who would promote such things are the proponents of the economic scheme that is associated with a myth of climate change. And so all you have to do is follow the money, look at the character and intent and nature and desires and motives of those who propose it, and the stunning lies that are used to advance it, like Kerry saying, it's a biblical duty. It's not very often that we have a dateline from a town that I am a matter of minutes from, but the dateline is Santa Barbara, California. There's a sexual abuse trial of a 13-year-old scout by an adult volunteer that is part of, quote, the sordid history of child and sexual abuse within the Boy Scouts that has been documented internally by the organization for nearly a century, the victim's attorney said on Monday. The Boy Scouts has known, according to the prosecutor, and has documented a long history of child sexual abuse within the Boy Scouts for as much as 100 years. This particular scout, who is now 20, sued the Boy Scouts of America and a local scouting council for punitive damages after being molested by a volunteer leader in 2007. He claims in his negligence lawsuit that the scouts failed to educate, train, and warn parents and adult volunteers about the dangers of sexual abuse within the scouting community. His attorney, Tim Hale, won the right to draw from more than 30 years of perversion files kept by the Boy Scouts of America as evidence at trial to support those allegations. the files cleared for use by Santa Barbara Superior Court Judge Geck include 16 years of documents from 1991 to 2007 that have never been seen outside of the administration of the Boy Scouts about its history of abusing children sexually. It strikes me that the head of the Boy Scouts now was former head of the Department of Defense. He was Secretary of Defense. His name is Gates. And Gates is the very man that created Al-Qaeda and rented the Taliban, empowered the Taliban, armed the Taliban, way back in the Carter administration when Mr. Gates was with the CIA. So you've got a guy that's been the head of the most corrupt, disingenuous, dishonest organization in America, the CIA, who moved on to be the head of the most destructive organization, the most counterproductive organization in America, the Department of Defense. And he is now head of the Boy Scouts of America, who have 100 years of files of how their program has sexually abused young boys. And now they're on trial for it. Pretty interesting, isn't it? This trial, Hale, the attorneys, told the jury that when the case is over, they will receive a CD of 100,000 pages of files to review while they deliberate. 100,000 pages of documentation that has been kept internally by the Boy Scouts of America and has not been revealed or turned over to prosecutors. Can you say that the Boy Scouts of America and the Roman Catholic Church have cover-up in common? You're going to be the first people in the United States with the opportunity to review these files, he said. Hale said in the opening remarks that the Scouts recorded between 9,000 and 10,000 such instances between 1920 and 2007. He intends to use these documents, to use documents that are more recent, therefore from 1971 to 2007. Quote, the Boy Scouts of America has had a long and sordid history of sexual abuse committed against young boys, committed by Scout leaders, and that timeline goes back, and the files will show until at least the 1920s, and they were not only aware of it, they covered it up. What has not been going on is notice to the public, notice to parents that this is occurring. An attorney for the Boy Scouts countered that the perversion files were created to keep children safe by maintaining a master list of people ineligible to volunteer with the Scouts. The organization acknowledges mistakes in the way of sexual abuse allegations and the way that they were handled in the past, but now has a robust child protection program, yeah, just like the Roman Catholic Church claims to have. From 2003 to 2007, a key period for the lawsuit, only 27 adult volunteers were kicked out annually for sexually abusing Scouts, although there were at least 1.5 million volunteers nationally. This next item in the news just struck me as funny. You know, the Abominator runs his campaign against American business and constantly campaigns against American business, saying that they need to be taxed more because they are exporting American jobs to foreign countries. Now, he never bothers to say the reason that companies are manufacturing goods overseas is that it's almost impossible to manufacture goods here. The labor laws, the stipulations imposed by government, the regulations demanded by government, the cost in taxes, the cost programs that have been imposed on business, is so egregious in America, and the fines by so many institutions and the overall corporate tax placed on companies is such that it's almost impossible to make goods in America. There are a few companies that do it. But the overwhelming preponderance of companies cannot make products in America. And that's why they're made overseas, where the business climate is much more conducive to being productive than it is in America. America has become a country that, much like Europe, rewards failure and punishes success. And we do it in every possible way, including our national rhetoric. So here's a president that has gone on war and a class warfare against American business, claiming that their big crime is exporting jobs. And the president, while he was in India, ended his visit with a pledge of $4 billion in investments and loans to India. Now, why isn't there a single journalist who said, is there a little bit of hypocrisy there? That rather than investing in American jobs, you've got $4 billion you're going to provide India to stimulate Indian investment in jobs? It is amazing that the man is not absolutely held accountable for his hypocrisy. Speaking of hypocrisy, an admitted Al-Qaeda jihadist who was released this month from a U.S. federal prison had been offered up as part of a potential prisoner swap in exchange for two Americans held in Qatar, a former U.S. diplomat said on Monday. Now, this is the government says, no, you can't negotiate with terrorists. You can't trade with terrorists. If a Islamic jihadist held your son and wanted $1 million ransom, and you knew that if you didn't provide $1 million, they would kill your son, if you provide $1 million for the freedom of your son, the United States government will not only charge you with a crime, they will convict you of a crime. And yet the government itself engages in this kind of duplicity and tries to trade individuals, which is more valuable to the jihadists than money. A complete hypocrisy. Quote, there is no disputing that fact. It was the goal of the administration to trade. This is Richard Grenell, who had worked on the case of the jailed Americans, who are jailed, by the way. I mean, they are jailed in the sense they're in Qatari jails. I mean, the Qatari government is the principal munitions sponsor of fundamentalist Islamic terrorism in the world today. Yeah, it's no longer Pakistan. Pakistan has more Islamic terrorist organizations under its control than any other nation, and therefore is the largest sponsor of Islamic terrorist groups, the Taliban being one of them. But in terms of state sponsorship of actual on-the-ground Islamic terrorism, of providing the weapons and the money to advance Islamic terrorism, Qatar is leading the parade, and there's no one anywhere close. They are the primary sponsors of the jihadists in Syria. They are the primary sponsors of the Libyan terrorist cells, which have turned that country into complete anarchy. They are, therefore, the principal supplier of weapons to Boko Haram. They are the worst. Anyway, the Daily Beast first reported that the trade was proposed to then U.S. ambassador in Qatar in 2014, that Qatar wanted an Al-Qaeda member for two Americans that it was holding in its prison system. Grenell, a former spokesman for the U.S. mission at the United Nations under George W. Bush, confirmed the idea was floated to then-Ambassador Susan Zia'da by a close confidant of the Qatari Attorney General. Now, that's just stunning. I mean, if you realize first that the hypocrisy of the United States, that we're willing as a government at the highest levels to negotiate trades and negotiate with Islamic jihadists and terrorists, but we forbid Americans from doing what the government. And then you recognize that in this particular trade, it wasn't with Islamic terrorists like the Islamic State. No. This time it was with the Qatari government. And it was the Qatari government that was interested in the trade for an Al-Qaeda member. And if you don't see the absolute realization that there is no distinction between the Qatari government and Islamic terrorism, and that the United States, if you think that the United States isn't aware of that, man, you got your eyes closed. The Al-Qaeda operative, whose name was Ali Saleh al-Mari, had been in U.S. custody since 2001. He, by the way, he just copped a plea. He did not stand trial. They had no interest in having him stand trial. He was ultimately released this month prior to completing his 15-year sentence because of time served, according to the Justice Department. Meanwhile, the two Americans, Matthew and Grace Wong, were allowed to leave the country last December after their conviction and death over an adopted daughter. It's been an interesting series of events that have transpired in Argentina. And I haven't covered this before. I've got probably 8 or 9 articles that are stacked deep in my list of news stories to cover. But there is a journalist, an Israeli Argentine journalist, who broke the story that that Alberto Nisman, who was a prosecutor in Argentina, who was murdered a day before he was supposed to testify before a version of Congress, Parliament, in Argentina regarding the perpetrators and the motivations behind them of the 1994 Islamic Jihad attack, the terrorist attack by Muslims on defenseless Jews in a Jewish center and its aftermath. So this goes back now 20 years. And in 20 years, they have yet to come to grips with the Islamic motivations as well as the Roman Catholic connections that enabled Muslims to be so vicious in Argentina and the lack of Argentine outrage against the murder by Muslims of so many Jews. And so this report was due the day after the prosecutor received a gunshot wound to the head. And the journalist who was covering the story then said that the Argentine government had dispatched goons to hunt him down and to kill him, to silence him, because they had staged it as a suicide. And then when this journalist began the investigation, it was determined, no, no, no. In fact, even the head of state of Argentina says, no, 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 it wasn't a suicide. This was murder. And so it was staged as a suicide to silence this individual. And then the very people who were responsible for that, and this reporter says they're actual agents of the Argentine government, tried to hunt down the journalist who broke the story and kill him. So he fled to Israel. Now, Mr. Nisman, who is the prosecutor, been 51 years old when he was murdered, had been investigating for the last decade the bombing in which 85 innocent people were killed by armed jihadists. He had accused Iranian officials of planning and financing the attack and of Iran's Lebanese ally, Hezbollah, of carrying it out. And I reviewed this attack, reviewed the evidence that exists in that regard, and I think that conclusion is irrefutable. I think he's right. He also accused President Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner of Argentina and of top aides of having conspired with Iran to cover up responsibility for the bombing as part of a deal that would supply Iranian oil to Argentina. Whoa. I mean, that's very much like the deal that George W. Bush made with Saudi Arabia after 9/11. And if you don't like the sound of that, of Iran using their terrorist organization Hezbollah to murder 85 unarmed Jews in Argentina, in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and then to have the government cover it up and to preclude making an accusation against Iran for state-sponsored terrorism and for Islam in a national sense perpetrating a terrorist attack against Jews, that they did so to buy Iranian oil at prices lower than international standard and covered it up. And then you look at the dealings with George W. Bush and how he redacted the majority of the 9/11 Commission report, just pulled out. In fact, when the Department of Defense did its study, he blacked out like 18 pages of the report. Everything that had everything to do with Saudi Arabia. So when Saudi Arabia was found complicit in 9/11, the Bush administration did the same thing regarding 9/11 that the Argentinians did regarding Iran's involvement in the mass murder of Jews in Argentina.